Chabili Ili Nishmas, Yol Ben Shimon Schneerson, Chanina Yehuda Ben Mordechai Ben Yosef Ben Elia Metnetsky. Towards the end of this week's parsha, we are introduced to the concept of Ma'acholos Asuros, the different animals which are forbidden for one to ingest. And it's a question, of course, why it appears here in the middle of Parsha Shmini. We know that Sefer Vayikra is mostly Torah's Kohanim. It's about the Beis HaMikdash, the Karbonos, and the Dinim of the Kohanim. Why is it, in fact, that Ma'acholos Asuros finds itself in Torah's HaKohanim? It's a discussion amongst the Rishonim. But the Torah begins by telling us, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe el Aaron Leimor Aleihem, Dabru Bnei Yisrael Leimor, Zos HaChayo Asher Toichlu Mikol HaBeimo Asher Ala Oretz. These are the animals which you are allowed to eat, and as of course we know what the simonim are. Kol mafreses parsa vishosa shesa perasos maalas geira bebehema osa techelu. Torah begins by giving us the klalim, the rules. You have to have mafreses parsa vishosa shesa. You have to have split hooves, of course, and you have to chew its cud. Those are the two qualifications for an animal to be considered kosher. And really, the Torah we would expect to just leave it right there. Why does the Torah continue and say, then the Torah begins to enumerate the different animals which have one of the simonim, but not the other simon. The Torah tells us you need two simonim. You need to have split hooves, of course, and you need to chew its cud. But then the Torah goes on and tells us, and these are the animals which you're not allowed to eat, even though they have one simon. The Torah tells us a gamel, a camel, has one of the simonim. It has split hooves, but it does not. It chews its cud, but does not have split hooves. And the same with the shofan, which I believe they translate as a hyrax. And the same with an arnevis, or some sort of hare, or some sort of rabbit. It also chews its cud, but its hooves are not split. And of course, we know the chazir, the pig, is the reverse. It has split hooves, and it doesn't chew its cud. So the obvious question is, why do we need to go through all these details? The Torah already told us it needs to have split hooves, and it needs to chew its cud. Why does it need both? So the Ramban already addresses this, and the Ramban tells us, why is the Torah going into detail? Really, it should have just said b'derech klal. Should have told us the rules, the principle. So why does it specifically explicate these four animals? Says the Ramban, these are the only four in the entire world which have only one simon. So therefore the Torah wanted to tell you that of course you need both simonim. You can't just have one simon. And you want to know which animals have only one simon. And the Torah goes on to tell us, these are the only four animals which have one simon. Any other animal that has one of them, you could be sure it has the other. The only ones which have one of the simonim, but not both of them, which therefore render those animals not kosher, of course, because only one of the simon, are these four: the gamel, the shafan, the arneves, and the chazir. In fact, some of the farshim explain, we know the Gemara tells us in Maseches Megillah, that when Talmei HaMelech decided to translate the Torah into other languages, so he brought together 70 Zakenim, and they all made the same exact changes because they were nervous what would happen if they wrote the Torah precisely the way it was. And the miracle was that not only one of them made that change, but each of them was mechavin to the exact same change. What was one of those changes? Arneves, they changed the arneves to something else, the Gemara tells us over there. Why they changed the word arneves, the hair? So the Gemara says, because Talmi's wife, her name was arneves, so she would be insulted. So the Mefarshim asked, she would be insulted, this is something you're not allowed to eat, because her name was arneves? She didn't know that that was Lashon HaKodesh for a rabbit, for a hare, was arneves? Why would she be insulted? Says the Mefarshim explained that Talmi Melch, of course, knew that that was the name of the rabbit. But the question was, why couldn't the Torah just tell us the principle? Why did it have to go into the details by stating certain animals specifically? Obviously, the only reason it said this animal specifically, even though there are tons of non-kosher animals, is to make fun of Talmei HaMelech's wife. And that's what he would have been upset at. He didn't know the Ramban. But the Ramban says, no, the Torah said these four because these are the only four which have one simit. Furthermore, Arnevis is the only one of the four which is B'lashon Nekeva. So that's another reason why Tamei Melch be insulted. The Gamal, you said B'lashon Zachar. The Shafan is B'lashon Zachar. The Chazir is also B'lashon Zachar. All of a sudden, with our Nevis, it comes to Lashon Nekeva. Obviously, you're pointing to my wife. So that's the concern. That was the concern of the Zakenim, and therefore they switched the Lashon. But either way, it's clear over here that the Klal, the principle, would have been sufficient. And yes, the Torah goes on to explicate specifically these four, because these are the only four which have one of the Simanim. But still, the question begs itself, why do we need to say anything? Just tell us the rule, and we would know everything else. So obviously, there are a lot of deeper things going on over here. Perhaps one of the deeper messages that the Torah is trying to explain to us comes through a Chazal, a Maimer Chazal in Vayikra Rabbah, well known to us, where Chazal explained that each one of these four species, each one of these four non-kosher animals also represents one of the exiles, one of the Malchios, which enslaved Klal Yisrael. Each one is representative of another Shibun Malchios that Chazal had to suffer through throughout their history. And the Gemara, the Medrash, goes on to explain which animal is representative of each specific nation. We've mentioned in the past that the Vilna Gaon says a beautiful idea based on this Maimer Chazal. The Vilna Gaon explains as follows. This is brought in a few places from the Talmidei Hagra. One of them is from the Vilna Gaon's brother in Evin Shleima, where he's discussing the significance, the importance of the Midah of Bitachon, even perhaps on some level more important than the actual Shmiras HaTorah V'Mitzvos, he says. The major definition, the major litmus test for a person's relationship, whether he has a real relationship with the Ribbono Shel, it could be tested based on the bitachon he has. Does he trust in the Ribbono Shel? Does he rely on the Ribbono Shel? And that's why, explains the Vilna Gaon, Lo Sachmod is given such significance in the Aseres HaDibros. Kol HaVeros V'Chatan Ba'im Mechemda. All the Isurim in the Torah, explains the Vilna Gaon, comes from the Isur of Chemda. Someone desires something which is not for him. Kemosha Amru, Kilo Sachmod, the Isur of Lo Sachmod, coveting something which is not for you, Kol El Kol HaDibros V'Chol HaTorah. Included in there is all of the Aseres HaDibros, and included in all of the Aseres HaDibros is all Tayyib Mitzvahs. So you have, to some degree, you have a little bit of every single one of the Tayyib Mitzvahs included in Lo Sachmod. Why is Lo Sachmod so important? V'Histapka Shehu Ahipoch Hu Yisod Shel Kol HaTorah. All of Torah is based on the midah of bitachon, relying on the Ribbono Shel Olam, that he'll give you what you need, you have what you need, that you're not in a situation where you have to get out of, you have to try to take from others. All the Torah, as Habakkuk came and told us at the end of the Gemara, tells us in the end of Maseches Makos, Bo Habakkuk, V'hamidon Alachas. Habakkuk said, I can wrap up the entire Torah in one thing, in one pasuk, Tzadik Be'emunasa Yichyeh. It all comes down to Emunah and Bibitachon. One of the ways that the Vilna Gaon illustrated this, how significant, how important the Midah of Bitachon was, is by explaining a Gemara in Maseches Yuma, Gemara which we have addressed it more detail in the past, but the Gemara tells us, the Gemara is discussing which generation was worse, the generation of the Churban Bayis Rishon or the generation of the Churban Bayis Sheni. Where were the Jews? Which dar was a worse dar? One caused the Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash, the other caused the Churban of the second Beis HaMikdash. Which Churban was worse? That's the Gemara's question. Rishonim Adifi or Achronim Adifi? The first one, which one were better than the other? The Gemara ultimately concludes that the Rishonim were better, although they were guilty of many Isurim. We know that the Rishonim were guilty of the three cardinal sins, Gilui Arayah, Shvichas Dam, and Avodah Zarah. But still, they were better than the Achronim, than the latter generation who were guilty of Sinas Chinam. What is the Gemara? How does the Gemara illustrate that the Rishonim were better, the first generation was better? The Gemara says as follows, Rishonim Adifi, how do we know? Shenizgalu Avoinim, they were open, they revealed their sins, and therefore Nizgalu Kitzam, therefore they were told that their Golas would only be for a limited amount of time, for 70 years. Why were were they zocha to such information? Don't worry, you're going into Galus, but it's only going to be for a certain amount of time. You will be coming back to Eretz Yisrael soon. Why were they zocha to have that information, something which we would yearn for, we desire for so much, to know when this long, bitter Galus is going to end? Because it was nisgalu avonim. Their sins were out in the open. What does it mean, their sins were out in the open? Explains the Vilna Gaon, ein lechanami, you're right, they were guilty of tremendous averis, the big three averis. But at the end of the day, their relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom was still intact. They still were b'teich in the Rabbeinu Shalom. They weren't fooling themselves, thinking they were great tzaddikim. They weren't trying to fool others, telling others that they were great tzaddikim. And they were b'teich in the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's the lashon of the Even Shlema. Ve'inyan ki rishonim shenizgalu avonam, nizgalu kitzim achronim v'hatam, ki harishonim hayu ma'aseim hatovim t'munim. They weren't trying to present themselves as great tzaddikim. They understood what their madrega was. They understood where they were. They understood that they had improvement to make. V'avonoseim gluim ki libam hayatov. Their heart was in the right place. V'rachmana libabai. So certainly they deserved destruction. They deserved galus. But the Rabbeinu Shalom told them, don't worry, it's only temporary, because you could improve, because you're willing to admit to yourselves that you have things wrong, that you have to fix. When it came to the Achronim, it was lo nizgalu voinam. Enachanami, you're right, they were doing mitzvahs, they were learning Torah, but they weren't willing to admit to themselves that they were terribly terrible situation when it came to Ben Adam L'Chavero. When it came to Sinas Chinim, they were in a terrible situation. That relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom wasn't there. They were doing the Meisa mitzvahs by rote, without the relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom. Therefore, it was lo nizgalu avoinim. I come, I present myself as a big tzaddik, as a big Talmud Chacham, but is your relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom there? It's not there at all. Therefore, lo nizgalu avoinim. You're not open to yourself and to others, to where you're holding, so then there's certainly no room for improvement. Says the Vilna Gaon, what does this mean? That's why, when it comes to the Galius, the first three Galius are compared to animals where their hooves aren't split. You see right on the outset by looking at them that they're not kosher animals. Because in the first three Galias, the Churban Bayis Rishon came from the first three Shubban Malchias, it was very clear that that generation, they were open about the fact that they had things wrong, and that's why they were deserving of destruction. But it wasn't as bad as the later generation. The later generation was Doimeh to Chazir, because they present themselves as being kosher. We present themselves as being tzaddikim, but really on the inside, the relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom was totally lacking, wasn't dynamic at all. That's why the last generation is doimeh to the chazir, because it was loynes galu avoinim. So the Vilna Gaon focuses on the character of Klal Yisrael during those four Shibun Malchias. But I saw an idea from Rav Mordechai Gimpel Yafet, a Talmud of Volozhin, a tremendous, tremendous idea, which excited me tremendously. Therefore, I wanted to share it with you. He explains as follows. Who was Rav Mordechai Gimpel Yafet? He was a Talmud of the Volozhin Yeshiva. A famous story about Rav Mordechai Gimpel Yafet was that we know that the best Talmud in the Volozhin Yeshiva had what covered? He was made the Purim Rav. Every year, the Rosh Yeshiva would step down in Purim, and he would appoint the best Talmud in the Yeshiva. He would be the Rosh Yeshiva for Purim. Rav Kook was a Purim Rav. Volozhin Yeshiva, every year, top Talmud became the Rav for Purim. So Mordechai Gimpel Yafet, he was the Purim Rav. And the minhag was in the Yeshiva that when you became Purim Rav, so you gave a Shir Klali, but the Shir Klali was full of Torah, of Purim Torah. Of course, what else? It was full of brilliant Iluyish, but Purim Torah nonetheless. So Rav Mordechai Gimpel Yafet gets up there and he begins darshaning, and he quotes the Yerushalmi, and he quotes the Rambam, and he's Miyashev the Rambam based in the Yerushalmi, and a whole complicated Shtukl Torah. And it was a very beautiful Chiddush, but the Bachim were upset. This is what we need, Purim Rav, we need a Shtukl Torah, we'll go to the Rosh Yeshiva. Your job is to make us laugh. You didn't make us laugh at all. So they went to the Rosh Yeshiva. They went to Rav Itzel of Volozhiner, and they said, this is what you call a Purim Rav. And Eloi, we agree, he's an Eloi, but we need someone who's going to make jokes, someone who's going to have good Purim Torah. So Rav Itzel said, okay, tell me the Shtukl Torah, and I'll decide whether it was good Purim Torah. So they said, this is the Yerushalmi quoted, and this is the Rambam he was trying to be Miyashev, and this was the Gemara he quoted, and this was the whole Shtukl Torah. And Rav Itzel said, I'm very impressed. It's a beautiful Shtukl Torah. The only problem is, there's no such Yerushalmi, there's no such Rambam. So that's why it's Purim Torah. So Rav Mordechai Gimpel Yafet has a beautiful, beautiful Dvar Torah on this week's Parsha, explaining, based on this Medrash Chazal, where each one of the Galiyos, each one of the Galiyos in that Klal Yisrael experience is connected one of these four non-kosher animals. And he says, if you take a look at the psukim, there's something totally striking, which I was embarrassed I never noticed before. If you take a look at the psukim, when it comes to each one of the non-kosher animal, the Torah says by the first three that the hooves are not split, but the way that the Torah says it is in a different way. For instance, the Torah at the beginning describing the gomel, the camel, says, Kimala gerahu, it chews its cud, ufarsa einenu mafris. It doesn't split its hood. Ufarsa einenu mafris. But then it comes to the shaf on the hyrax, and how does it say it? Ufarsa lo yafris, in the future. Why switch it? First it said, ufarsa einenu mafris, and then the next pasuk describing the next animal, it says, ufarsa lo yafris. And as if that wasn't bad enough, in the next pasuk describing the arnevis, the rabbit, it goes back to Lashon Avar, Ves Harneves, Ufarsa, Lo Hifrisa. So when it comes to the Gomel, Ufarsa, Enenu Mafris, when it comes to the Shafan, it's Ufarsa, Lo Yafris in the future, and when it comes to Harneves, it's Ufarsa, Enenu Hifrisa in the past. Why is one present, one future, and one past? L'chora, a tremendous, tremendous Ha'ara. And he explains as follows. He says, we know that each one of these four animals represent a different one of the golosin that Klal Yisrael experience. And he says, if you take a look throughout Chazal describe each one of these golias. And each golos was different. The first animal, the gomel, is represented by the first animal, the gomel, represents golos bavel. Chazal tell us that golos bavel was bad mitchila v'atzeit. They never liked Klal Yisrael. From the moment they came to power to the end of their days, they never liked Klal Yisrael. Therefore, there it says, B'loshan Hoiva, they always hated Klal Yisrael. They always didn't have split hooves. That's the Loshan of the Torah. Ufarsa eina mafris. It was never good. However, when it comes to the animal, the Shafan, represents Malchus, says Chazal, represents Malchus Madai. Malchus Madai, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, at first they liked Klal Yisrael. Only later on, Koresh originally agreed to build the base of Mikdash. Only later on, where they said they were Hichmitz, he says, now I don't like Klal Yisrael anymore. Therefore, it says, Ufarsa lo hif yafris in the future. Right now, he might like Klal Yisrael. In the future, he doesn't like Klal Yisrael. But then, when it comes to Yavon, Chazal tells the just exact opposite. Yavon came to power, they hated Klal Yisrael, but ultimately, they made peace with Klal Yisrael. Therefore, it says, the Lashon Avar lo hifrisa, because each one of these Sheba Malchias didn't like Klal Yisrael at a different time. Therefore, that's representative by whether it says Mafris, Yafris, or Hifris. Unbelievable. Shows you. Hafeichba the Kula. But one little diak in the Lashon of the Torah tells you tremendous amount of things, tremendous amount of depth. He goes a step further. He says, we know that Sefer Vayikra represents the Churban of Bayis Rishon. Sefer Devarim represents the Churban of Bayis Sheni. That's what the Ramban tells us. The Toichacha in Parshas Bechul Kosai is connected the destruction of first base of Mikdash. The Toichacha in Parshas Kisava is connected the destruction of the second base of Mikdash. He says, therefore, what was the destruction of the second base of Mikdash? That was Edom. Edom is Esav. Edom is the Chazir, where they show we're all kosher like Esav. He is Ish Tzayin. He tricked Yitzchak. That's Edom. He's like the Chazir. He shows us the split hooves, but really inside he doesn't chew its cud. So when it comes to the Chazir in Sefer Vayikra, there it says just that it doesn't chew its cud. The Lashon of the Pasuk is V'lo Gera, it doesn't chew its cud. But when it comes, V'lo Yigar, in the future, he will not chew its cud. When it comes to Sefer Dvarim, there it says Lo Gera. Why? Because Sefer Dvarim, that is Shibud Malchias of Edom. Therefore, in Sefer Dvarim, when we're talking about Edom, we say Lo Gera. When we're talking in Vayikra, the Shibud Malchias of the first three Malchias, we're talking about the Bayis Rishon, Edom hasn't come under power yet. Edom, therefore, it says, when it comes to the Chazir, which represents Edom, therefore it says, Lo Yigar. Then you go to Sefer Re'eh, you go to Sefer Devarim, Parshas Re'eh. How does it describe the first three Malchias, the first three animals, the Gamal, the Arneves, and the Shafan? Then it says, B'loshen Ovar. Because again, in Sefer Devarim, we're already holding by the second, the destruction of the second Bayis Rishon. The first Bayis Mikdash was already destroyed. Therefore, the three Malchias, which have destroyed the first Bayis HaMikdash is all described, the Lashon Avar. All these diyukim, these nuances in Pesukim, which perhaps sometimes we overlook, show you again, HaFeichba VaHaFeichba L'Kula Ba, every little nuance in the Torah is there to teach us worlds and worlds of depth.
Rabbis Kiddash, Mei Rabba, B'yom Adi V'rach, Yerutei, V'mlich Machusei, V'yechon, V'yom Echon, V'chaydech, O'Beit Yisrael.